The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 65. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred, and good afternoon, everybody. About a month ago, during some Radio City Playhouse editions, Dolores Sutton and Richard Seth, both aged 22, appeared at the door of Studio 8F in NBC and modestly announced that they were not only good actors, but that they were also writers, that they had co-authored a play, and that they thought we should listen to them. They came into the studio for what was supposed to be a 10-minute audition and began to read their play aloud, playing all the parts themselves. Half an hour later, we were so delighted with their approach, charm, and talent that we bought the play and cast this young actor and actress in the leading roles. Here are Richard Seth as Johnny, Dolores Sutton as Anne, in their own original radio drama, Sibling. Attraction 65 on Radio City Playhouse.
On the fourth floor of a New York brownstone in the Greenwich Village district, Anne Farrar is preparing dinner for two in the kitchenette of apartment 4B.
Well, that's the coffee. Now, if Johnny would just hurry. Johnny, that you?
Well, sure, it's me. Anybody else you know got a key to this apartment? Hello.
Hi. Say, if you brought something good for dinner, I'll forgive you for being late. Let me see.
No, don't look. Guess. Guess what I bought.
Oh, I don't have to guess. I can smell it. That's the unmistakable smell of salami. Say, if you don't change your diet soon, you'll never live to be 21.
I like salami.
You don't like salami. You bought it because the man who sold it to you likes salami.
Oh, what's the difference? We eat so fast, we never know what we're eating anyway.
All right. Get the bread and we'll make some sandwiches.
Yes, ma'am.
Golly, I'm tired. Why do I get so tired?
You have a hard day?
Oh, terrible day. Did you ever try to tell a woman with a face like a fish that she's got a face like a fish? And that I'm awfully sorry, madam. We don't carry hats for ladies with faces like fish. Golly, it's good to get home.
Well, it all seems very funny looking back.
Mm-hmm. Get the butter, will you?
Sure.
You going out tonight?
No, I'll stay in and help you.
Oh, look, little brother, I love to have you help me. But I think you ought to go out once in a while and have some fun.
No, I'll stay in. You know you can't type.
Look, I need you for the typing, Johnny, but no suggestions, please. Let me write the book my own way, will you?
Well, don't I always?
Oh, just that darn book is all I think about now. All day long, trying hats on silly women, I think about that book.
What's the matter with you?
Just that it's terribly important that we finish it, Johnny.
Well, of course we'll finish it. What's the matter, Anne? Don't you feel well?
Sure, fine. But tonight we finish chapter 6, and I mean finish, without interruption.
Close the door behind him. Right. Hey, why don't you stop pacing up and down?
I can think better when I pace up and down.
Close the door behind him. Go on.
Okay. Sylvia had the kind of aggressive femininity that spread out over a room and enveloped everyone in it.
This is Sylvia Tranton you're talking about, isn't it?
Yeah, what about her?
Well, she wasn't like that at all. If the book's going to be about real people, why do you change them? You ought to tell the truth.
Oh, look, there's a difference. There's a very big difference between what's true in real life and what's true in a book. Sometimes you can tell a lie to bring out a truth. Do you catch?
No, but it's interesting, so I'll remember it.
Okay. Now, where was I?
Sylvia Tranton was spread out over a room.
Oh, yeah. Femininity that spread out over a room and enveloped everyone in it. She could not realize that... she could never feel with other human beings, that she could only feel against. She took great liberties with other people's feelings and idealized the excitement she felt of hurting me. There was nothing that...
Anne, what is it?
John, I don't know.
Anne, what's the matter?
I don't know. I suddenly fell. Oh,
put your arm around my neck.
I don't think I can get up.
Well, try.
What happened to me? Oh, get the doctor, Johnny.
Yes.
Get the doctor, quick.
Is she all right, Doctor? What is it?
She's asleep now. I'd like to get her to a hospital as quickly as I can.
Hospital?
Johnny, I'm not going to lie to you. Your sister is sick. Very sick.
What's the matter? What happened to her? One minute she was walking up and down dictating to me. Then she just keeled
over.
How
old is she, Johnny?
22.
Oh, that young. You live alone?
Our parents are dead. Please, Doctor, what is it? What's wrong with Anne?
Anne has had a stroke.
A stroke?
It's unusual because she's so young, but it's not unheard of.
Anne, a stroke? But that means...
It means that she'll have a little trouble walking. It means that things won't be so easy for
walking.
Her.
Walking? You mean that...
Do you have a job, Johnny?
Yes, I work in a camera shop. Walking? Do you mean to
What's
say...
What's your salary?
I get a commission, sometimes $50 a week. Why?
Because this may be expensive. Do you have any saved?
Some. It never cost us very much to live.
That's good. Now, where's the telephone?
Does she have to go to the hospital?
Perhaps only for a few days.
When she comes home, will she... Well, should I quit my job?
No, that's not necessary.
But I'm out all day except for lunch. If she's... Well, you said about her walking...
No, Johnny. It'll be important for her not to think that she's a burden.
A burden? Dr. Anne is going to be able to walk, isn't she? She is going to be able to walk.
Hey, Johnny! Johnny! How's Anna today, huh?
Oh, hello, Mr. Novella. She's about the same.
Oh. For your lunch, my wife is making this. It's the pie.
Oh, she shouldn't have bothered.
Oh, it's no bother, Johnny.
Well, tell her thanks very much, will you? From both of us?
Sure, I will.
You're the best neighbors in New York.
See you later, Johnny.
Anne, it's me.
Hi, Johnny.
And what are you doing out of bed?
I was just cleaning up. I've dusted nearly all the books. I've just got these to do, and then I'll... Oh, no, Johnny, please, I'll pick them up. I can do it, please. I'll pick them up and you get lunch. You've got to stop treating me like a baby.
I'm not treating you like a baby. Somebody's got to do these things for you. I wouldn't want it to be anyone else.
You should have a girlfriend, Johnny.
Anne, now leave the books alone. Now listen to me. I don't need a girlfriend. You're my girlfriend.
Oh, it can't be this way all your life, Johnny, looking after a sick sister.
Anne, now please, stop talking about it. Hey, look here. Mrs. Novella made us a pie for lunch. I'll get it
Johnny,
ready. Yeah?
Johnny, do you think that tonight we could get back to working on the book? Oh, we've wasted so much time. All these weeks we haven't touched it. I'd like to get back to it. I'd like to get back to it tonight.
She took great liberties with other people's feelings and idealized the excitement she felt at hurting them. There was nothing, and that's where we stopped, Anne.
What was I going to say, I wonder?
There was nothing that...
Would make her turn and face reality. Am I the same girl who wrote that? Seems so different now. Sylvia left the room without saying a word. Johnny, each word forward takes me 5 words back.
Sylvia left the room without saying a word. Come on, Anne.
Johnny, we will hurry, won't we? This book is the only thing I have left to give anybody.
Well, sure we'll hurry. Come on, let's get on with it right now.
Yes. Oh, no. No, not tonight, Johnny. We'll do it tomorrow night.
I don't understand it, Doctor. Anne looks better. She seems to feel better, but the work on the book is slow, awfully slow.
Does she want to finish it, Johnny?
She doesn't talk about anything else.
Then I don't see any harm in continuing it.
We've been on it for 3 months. Do you think she'll be able to finish it?
Johnny, a question like that...
I've got to know.
What can I say, Johnny? I'm not God.
Will she?
No.
What did you say?
I said, I don't know.
I want to write tonight, Johnny. Really write. Somehow I haven't felt up to it lately, but tonight I feel fine.
Then we'll start on it right now.
Oh, but you haven't eaten.
I'll eat later.
You must really love typing.
No. No, it's because I know what it means to you, and I want you to finish it.
Do you know why it's so important to me?
Why?
Because it's our life. That's why I have to put it down. It's the things we wanted and never had. The things we dreamed of and the nightmares they turned into. I was thinking, Johnny, that I'd like to work on something very particular tonight. I'd like to write about how I got sick.
All right, eh?
Everything was really so wonderful before that, Johnny. I didn't know it then, but sometimes I lie here and I think of the window right next to the bed. I never knew windows could be so important. I think of what it's like outside. I know it must be changed. There must be new things to see and colors all swimming together. You know, when you go to work every morning, I go with you. You didn't know that, I bet. But I do. I walk down the stairs with you and out into the street. And I look around and I breathe the clean air.
Oh,
and then I get on the bus and I ride past the park. And I walk into the store with you and I watch the people rushing by. And I can hardly breathe because it's so beautiful.
Please, Anne.
Well, that's what I want to write tonight. I want to put down how it was when I could do those things. And how strange it was when it all stopped.
Sure, Anne. We'll put it all down. Typewriter's all ready.
And here goes. She turned down the street into the park. Thought of how her mother was always telling her she walked faster than anybody in the world. She was glad she'd gone to the theater.
No, Anne, not the theater. She's in the park.
Stop treating me like a baby. I meant the park. Where was I? Oh, yes, the park. Johnny, is there something wrong?
No, nothing's wrong.
Then don't treat me like a child.
Why do you keep saying that?
Let's go on.
All right.
What was it?
The park. She was glad she had gone to the park.
Oh, the park. Yes. She couldn't seem to realize that it wasn't spring. But it wasn't the time when things grew and came alive. There was something too sad about admitting it was autumn. And that green leaves were old and withered. She wouldn't admit that it was a time for... Johnny! Johnny, something's wrong!
Anne, what is that?
My voice. It's so hard to speak.
Anne!
Something's wrong with my voice. My throat.
What is it?
I can't seem to speak. Oh, Johnny! Johnny!
That's
what I meant, Johnny, when I said it was unpredictable. You'll never know in cases like this.
Is she ever going to speak again, Doctor?
I don't know. Maybe never. Maybe tomorrow. I'll arrange for a nurse.
No. No, I'll take care of her. That's what she wants.
All right. I'm sorry, Johnny. I'm terribly sorry.
Thanks.
I'll be in touch with you.
Yes, thanks.
Call me anytime. Anytime.
Thanks, Doctor. Bye. Anne, what are we going to do? I'm frightened. You and I, we've always been alone, but now it's so different. The book, the last thing you talked about. Now it'll never be done. If only I could write it for you. If only you could tell me how to write it. And I was never really sure you needed me. But now you need me. I know you do. Tell me how to write your book. Give me the words and let me give them voice. Please. I'll finish it for you. If you'll only tell me how. Anne, listen to me. It's 3 weeks since you lost your voice. We can't wait forever. I'm going to try it tonight. I'm going to roll a piece of paper into the typewriter and try to write. Will you help me? Now, where did you stop, Anne? Well, here. She wouldn't admit that it was the time for... death. She wouldn't admit that autumn was the end of everything. Everywhere there was music. It's finished, Anne. I've just been putting words down, and I haven't even reread them. For 5 weeks, I've been sitting here writing. I don't know where the words came from, but they're all down on paper now. I've written your book. I did it for you because it's what you wanted most in the whole world. I hope I did it just as you would have. I tried. I tried to do everything just as you would have. It's called Sibling. And it's signed Anne Farrar.
Sibling is your sister's book, Mr. Farrar?
Yes, sir.
I understand her manuscript was left with our receptionist.
Yes, sir. I left it there.
When did she finish it, Mr. Farrar?
4 days ago.
Oh, really? Mm. Well, she didn't lose much time in getting it to us, did she? It's a very interesting book, Mr. Farrar. It shows all the marks of the inexperienced craftsman, but it's one of the loveliest things I've ever read. I'm sorry your sister couldn't be here. When can I meet her?
I'm afraid that's not possible, sir.
I beg your pardon?
Well, she wrote the book about herself. She's paralyzed.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. She must be able to type, though.
No, she can't move at all now.
But how?
She dictated it.
Remarkable. Oh, perhaps I could come and visit her since she can't come to me.
I'm afraid, sir. You see, my sister is completely paralyzed. She can't speak either.
But you said...
She understands me. I talked to her. But 5 weeks ago, her vocal cords...
But you said she finished the book 4 days ago.
It was unfinished when her vocal cords became paralyzed. I ended it for her.
I see. Mr. Farrar...
Yes?
Just how much of this book did your sister actually write?
All of it.
But I mean, how much did she actually dictate to you?
I don't remember.
Please tell me. How much?
5 or 6 chapters.
Then the rest is yours.
No. No, I didn't write it. I had nothing to do with it. I just put the words down. Somehow Anne made the words come into my mind, and I just typed them out.
I see. Well, of course, it's your affair whose name goes on the book. Perhaps a co-authorship, eh?
No, Mr. Carter. Sibling is by Anne Farrar.
Well, I suppose it doesn't make too much difference whose name is on the cover. The important thing is that I'm going to publish it.
done it, Ann. Success or failure, at least you've given them something. They're going to publish it, Ann. Sibling by Ann Farrar. That's right, Ann. Smile. Smile, because from now on, we're both going to be very happy.
Sibling by Ann Farrar will stand on the shelf of great American novels. It is a probing, tender, inspiring story of a paralytic which must profoundly move all who are privileged to read it.
Anne, the critics have gone wild over it. Everybody's going to read it. Everybody's going to know about you just as though they've lived with you like I have. Anne, do you understand? This room isn't going to be just four walls anymore. It'll be the whole world. Aren't you glad, Anne? You're famous. You'll be rich soon. We'll move to a house in the country, and we'll have a nurse for you. And, Anne, why don't you smile anymore? You do understand, don't you? Blink your eyes, then. If you blink your eyes, I'll know that you understand. You're famous. You're rich. Anne, haven't you understood any of it? Haven't you understood that they published the book? Anne, you must. You must. Anne. Hello, Dr. Gordon. Johnny Farrar. Can you come over right away? I've got to talk to you. And for the first time, Doctor, I felt she didn't know what I was talking about.
Johnny, Anne hasn't understood anything you've said since she lost her speech.
What? She doesn't know that I finished it? That it's published? But it's a great big success.
Now, Johnny, listen to me. There's no...
No, Doctor, I'm through listening to anybody. What do you think I did it for? What's the point of it all if she doesn't even know that it's finished?
Johnny, I'm going to say something that's perhaps none of my business, but... As the publisher of Sibling, I think I have a right to talk to you this way. You can't just quit, Johnny.
Quit?
Anne's been dead for 3 months. You're collecting a fortune on her book.
You don't have to remind me of it that bluntly.
I feel it's time to be blunt. You know perfectly well you wrote most of that book yourself.
I didn't.
You wrote all but 6 chapters.
I couldn't have done any of it without Anne. She was the inspiration, the fire, if you like. Even when she couldn't speak, I could feel the words come from her. Call it telepathy, call it imagination, call it anything you like. But Sibling is Anne's book, and there's no use in talking about my writing another one, because I can't. Without Anne, I couldn't do anything. Even with her, I've never done anything. Now I've got to be going.
All right, Johnny, whatever you say. Here's the check.
Thank you.
And Johnny.
Yes?
If you ever do decide to write another book, will you give me first refusal?
Good night, Mr. Carter.
Johnny,
yes.
One more thing. You're only 22, Johnny. Don't live in the past with a dead sister forever.
Sibling by Anne Farrar. Anne, if there was only some way I could tell you. I think if you could know about the book,
I know, Johnny. I know. All written to me, Johnny. Look to this day, for this day's life. Yesterday is only a dream. Tomorrow is only a vision. But today, well lived, makes every yesterday a dream of happiness, and every tomorrow a vision of hope. Look to this day, Johnny. You can do it. You can. And even from here, I'll help you. I'll help you. If only you'll try.
All right, Anne. I'll try.
I've just heard Sibling as written and acted by Dolores Sutton as Anne, Richard Seff as Johnny. Other members of the cast were Louis Van Ruten and Ralph Camargo. The music was specially composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield. The entire production was under the direction of Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. For their fine writing and acting, our thanks and congratulations to Richard Seff and Dolores Sutton. And to you, a sincere invitation to be with us next week for The Wine of Orapallo by John Hastie. That's next week, Attraction 66 on Radio City Playhouse. Good afternoon, everybody.
What's on NBC today? Three outstanding stars of the stage and screen play the leading roles in the Elmer Rice Prize-winning drama Street Scene when Theatre Guild on the Air opens its doors this evening. You'll hear Richard Cotte, Diana Lynn, and Shirley Booth in a tragic, moving story hailed as one of the top dramas of modern times. Listen this evening to the Theatre Guild's Street Scene on NBC. Fred Collins speaking. Now stay tuned for James Melton at Harvest of Stars on NBC.